answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are delighted to have you with us here this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And we are eager to give you the answers to the questions that are on your mind and on your heart concerning the things of God, our Creator, the Creator of this great universe. We are here to serve you as far as any questions that you may have concerning God's Word and His will for our lives here while we are on this earth that He has so graciously been able to give us and provide for us. The number here at the station to call in your questions is 308-9564. That's area code 843-308-9564. You can have your question written down and given to us, and then we can answer it. Or if you prefer, you can ask your question on the air. You can ask your question on the air. That is available to you. You know, if we only ask two things, if you would like to do that, one is that you would keep your radio turned down so that there's no confusing echo with the radio being too loud, and also that we could just give us your first name so that way we can be polite and address you by name. So those are only two things we ask for concerning asking your question on the air. Or if you prefer, you can ask your question by texting. The text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. If you would rather text in your question, this is a live call in and answer radio program. We are live here. It's January 27th. It is about 1:33, and we are live waiting for your questions. You can call in your questions at 308-9564. 308-9564, or you can text in your questions to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Now is your chance. Many of you know that at the end of the broadcast, the lines fill up and the questions pile up. So we do not want to have you to have to be waiting like that. So go ahead and call right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer to the question that you give. So you set the theme and you set the subject matter, but God will give the answers through His Word as we let the Bible speak. Now, if you have friends or relatives who are out of town and outside this broadcast area, we would encourage you to contact them and let them go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, and hit the live link button, and they can live stream the broadcast wherever they're at in the world. Or if you know someone that is outside the area that has a smartphone, they can also, with the use of an app, be able to join in WJNI as well. There are several such apps as that, and they can join us as they go to their various apps and be able to find this radio station during those things. And so there's a lot of ways to approach and be able to listen to this broadcast. Easiest, if you have a computer, is www.biblealone.com, and then hit the live stream button, and they can join us anywhere in the world. As a previous mention, we also have a text line. If you would rather, if you have a cell phone and you'd rather text us, go ahead and do so through your smartphone as well. That number is 725-9283. That is our text line, 725-9283. So you are the questioner. We are going to go to the Bible for the answer, and we are happy that you have joined us today. It's been a thrill to meet many of you face-to-face recently. We had our gospel meeting a couple of weeks ago on Friday and Saturday night, and which we were able to meet some 30 of you. We were thrilled to be able to do this. Some of you as well came out this morning, and we were happy to be able to meet you there as well. We are glad that you have a desire to know what God says in His Word, and that's exactly what we will do. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Paul, writing by inspiration, says, "Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed." So if we go to any other place to find the answer, God pronounces upon us a curse. And that word accursed there is the Greek word anathema, which means it's like a super curse. It is not a matter of a curse like just someone cursing somebody with words. This would be, in fact, a real horrible condemnation from God himself. And so we want to make certain that we are going to go to the Bible for all the answers so that we would not be cursed from God himself. So there's where we're going to go to the answer, get the answer from, is God's word. But please know that we are waiting for your questions, so don't hesitate to go ahead and call in right now. 308 is the voice line, 308-9564. And that way, that's the voice line. You can call in your question and go live, or it can be written down and brought into us. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. That is our text line, 725-9283.
We have Sharon calling in this question. The question asks, will suicide cause one to go to hell? Why? Since as people we are born into this world. And I guess it seems as if the context of the question is really kind of focusing on this, the world, and kind of how negative the world is. And so, you know, would it be a bad thing if, you know, someone just would not want to deal with the things in this world, and would they just, you know, would it be okay to just commit suicide? Well, I want to direct your attention to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, there's a context that I want to pick up in that just shows you kind of the focus on, well, what your focus should be on, or really what would be the importance of, you know, how we see the world. You know, usually when someone would take their own life in committing suicide, that would show some kind of lack of hope, or some kind of feeling of, well, you know, all the suffering and the things I'm going through is just it causes me to want to leave this world. And so someone would take their own life. I want to direct your attention to Romans chapter 8, and we see here that over in verse 31, the writer here, the Holy Spirit using Paul to write, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us these things? What shall we bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." And then he goes on and continues. And then picking up in verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" And he goes on and he finishes in verse 38. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, nor things present nor things to come in this age or the next, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So if someone's focused on the love of Christ, like there's, like we should supposed to as Christians, as God's people, we're focusing on the love of Christ and the love of God. Well, we wouldn't see this world as hopeless. And looking back in verse 18 of Romans, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So that the sufferings that you're going through in this life, if those sufferings are causing you to want to take your own life, well, then that should help us to recognize, you know, what our focus is on. And we see, you know, God would not be approving of the fact of taking someone's life. Ricky, you want to add to that?
Yes, in Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus brings out, "I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." God commands all men everywhere to repent, and so repentance is necessary in order for us to be able to get forgiveness of it, whether it is initially as we become a child of God, where they were told in Acts 2 to know that Christ, that Jesus is Lord and Christ, and then they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and that's when they are added to Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 brings out Romans 6 verse 3, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ," that's how we are put into Christ. So when that occurs, Well, just notice that repentance is necessary in our beginning our walk with the Lord, as we are to believe, repent, and be baptized, as well as confession is involved as well, Romans 10, verse 10. And all of those things are necessary, but repentance is in the mix. Well, then later on, after we are a child of God, we still have to repent of our sins in order to get forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so upon our repentance and walking in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, and in confessing that, then He is faithful and just to forgive us. Well, if the sin itself is self-murder, and that will not give them the opportunity to confess and to repent because of that. And so that would be very difficult to occur. It is sad to say that sometimes people can get so depressed because of their lack of focus upon God, and thus they end up taking their own life. And that in itself, of course, is a process of sin. That would be self-murder. And so we've got to make certain that if we will look at what God wants us to look about and think about what God wants us to think about, then that will not occur. I would also want you to know what Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, well, 4 through 8, actually. If you read this passage, it will show you a great deal of hope and how to overcome such a condition, a depression that many do suffer from. God has the remedy. The world sometimes doesn't even know it's broken, but God gives the remedy. God gives us the hope, and God gives us the ability to overcome no matter how bad a valley of the shadow of death we may find ourselves in. He shows us the way that we are to think.
Also want to throw in Revelations 21:8 concerning the subject that says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And among those things in that list, to considered with suicide, not only murderers, but also cowardly seems to be fitting along with that as well, with an aspect of, well, I don't want to go through the rest of this life and the troubles and the problems that may come. So, you know, it seems like cowardly, unbelieving, and murderers all would fall into that one sin of suicide.
I agree. Well, we want you to know it's time for our first break, and we want you to be aware of that the Bible correspondence course that we're about to send out or offer to you is absolutely free. It is filled with information that you will not commonly hear in the pulpits across the land. There are many churches out there teaching everything you can think of and doing even more than that. And so when you look and see that God's Word, His simple Word, is made to help us with the salvation of our soul, and that in itself is being left out. So don't you think that that question of all questions need to be heard and answered from God's Word? So don't miss out on this. You can take the course. We'll send it in the mail to you tomorrow. And you can study that in the privacy of your own home, anywhere, at any time. Fill it out, though, and send it back to us. We, in turn, will send that graded back to you along with the next two lessons. After you fill those out, then you send them back to us. We will grade them and send the next set of lessons to you, and so on until you finish the course. And so please go ahead, take the opportunity to enroll in that. Here's the information on that. Please know that it is absolutely free, so don't miss out on this. We will never charge you. Put away your pocketbooks. It's absolutely free. It is our honor to share it with you. So here's the details on it. If you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your question. We'll be right back.
We are back alive, and once again, we want to know just how sincere we are with their correspondence course that we are offering. It's very, very important to be able to focus on just the Word of God. I mean, we hear so many things that are actually contrary to many things that God's Word actually teaches in the Scriptures, and so it's really, really important that we try to stress that, because it's as soon as we start to feel that, well, I know enough, or I think I have recognized what I need to know in terms of how to serve God. And as soon as we start feeling like we know enough, well, then that should be a very big indication that we don't know what we should know, because we are trying to give you the answers that pertain to the questions you have pertaining to life and godliness, and those are only found in the scriptures. And so, you know, it's always good to just be able to have book, chapter, verse for what those teachings that you have known or heard of or thought about your whole life. Just because you've been taught about it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Try to get book, chapter, and verse from God's word to know for sure. So we try to encourage you in that with the Bible Correspondence Course. If you have already done that and you have a question, go ahead, call in your question right now. 308-9564. The lines are open. Both lines are open. You call, you will be the next one to get your question answered. 308-9564. Or you can text in your question. We have not gotten a text question yet. So text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283. Ricky?
We have Ben call in this question. Ben is a longtime listener, and Ben, thank you so much for your questions. They're always thought-provoking, and we sure do appreciate it. His question comes from Romans chapter 6, and we'll, if you want to go ahead and be turning there, Romans chapter 6, we'll go there in just a second. His question is, why did God say in Romans 6, the old man is crucified with him, and the newness of life, what does that mean, and how do we walk that walk? Well, very good question, Ben. We sure do appreciate it very, very much. And in Romans chapter 6, that's exactly what it says. It says, starting with verse 3, it says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Well, Ben, the whole chapter is dealing with this subject, and it's talking about putting away and no longer being a servant of sin at all. As the chapter goes on, you'll see in verses 15, 16, it even describes it as being slaves. All of us are slaves. If you doubt that, look at verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and being set free from sin, you became slave of righteousness. And so that's who we now are to be serving. So your question is, what is this newness of life? Well, we are now to walk by a new standard. We're not supposed to be listening to what mama said, the pope says, the preacher says, my heart says about, and on the list goes. We should be listening to what God says in his word, walking according to his map, that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. And so what we need to do is to see what he says, to honor him by doing what he says, and then when we do, we will be walking in the light. And thus 1 John chapter 1 tells us, urges us, that we walk in the light as he is in the light, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Ben, I think Steve mentioned to you on the phone a minute ago the need for you to be baptized as that walk begins, and that is absolutely correct. If we have not begun that by being born of water and of spirit, then we're not walking with Christ. We're still in our sins. We must begin that journey, be birthed into this life by obedience from verse 3, which puts us into Christ. So that's why it is so important. Once we are walking with him, that our sins are washed away at that point, then we begin that walk, and that newness of life is according to what he says, not according to what man says. Now, Ben, the only reason we emphasize this so often is because the devil has gotten most churches to redefine baptism from anything to everything, from sprinkling to an emotional sensation, And the truth of the matter is, man makes it complicated. We are to do exactly what they did back then. Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were baptized on the same day. And Paul, when he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord, that's exactly what he did. He did it immediately. The eunuch did it immediately. The jailer in the middle of the night, immediately. So is there a difference in what they did and what's going on today? And I think you would agree, oh yeah, big difference. Well, isn't it time to let the Bible speak? Let God have his way and us do what he says based upon what he says, not what man says or what I think or what is popular. Thanks, Ben, so much for your question. Newness of life, that means walking in that straight and narrow path that will lead to life. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's our voice line. Our text line is 725-9283. The lines are available right now, so go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564 is the number. We have two lines available. If it happens to just happen to let it ring, just let it ring till we pick up. On the voice line, there is no standing in line, 725-9283. That is the text line. And when you call the operator standing by, the number we give every 15 minutes, we want you to know that if the line's busy, they can only one call at a time come through. So if the line's busy, just hang up and then hit redial. You will eventually get through. So now's your opportunity to choose the next topic, and we will let the Bible speak. The numbers, 308-9564. That's our voice line, 308-WJNI. Or if you'd rather text, 725-9283.
Once again, the lines are open. Please go ahead and join us. We are ready and waiting for your questions that are on your mind and on your heart. You can call us here at the station. 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564. Or the text line is available. We have not gotten the texter in yet. You can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283. While we're waiting on the next caller, we've got a couple of minutes before we go to break here. I want to just kind of revert your attention to a passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that we want to make light of, simply because it offers a very simple principle that it's easy to forget. You know, oftentimes we go through situations in life and we just get comfortable with what we're doing and how we're living in terms of our service towards God. And we don't always really recognize, is my service towards God actually what he wants me to do? Is it actually how I'm supposed to be living? In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so therefore, he tells us how to show our love for him, as opposed to us choosing how to show our love for him. We can't choose how we're going to show our love for him. We should show our love for him the way that he told us to. And looking at 1 Timothy, I just want to make light of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Here we have the Holy Spirit using Paul here to write this letter to Timothy. And then chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." Now think about these who have turned to idle talk, these who have decided to become teachers of the law. There are people who focus on self. There are people who are trying to build up themselves, and they want to teach other people about the laws of God. They want to teach other people about the commandments, where they themselves have the wrong motivations and having the wrong focus. Well, we see here that the purpose of the commandments, the reason God gives us the commandments, is so we can show this pure heart, this good conscience, this sincere faith. That's what the commandments are for. The commandments aren't just to show to condemn us. That's what the old law, the Old Testament commandments, they were to show us our sin. But this new law, Christ's new law, is supposed to show the true, the pure heart, the love that we're supposed to have for God, the obedience that we're supposed to show God should be from love. And so many times, often too many times nowadays, we just don't really hear that. We hear that oh, just call Jesus. Jesus is on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. We hear things of that nature. I believe there's a popular song like that. I mean, there's so many things that can get into our minds where we feel that somehow, some kind of how Christ is here to serve us. He's here to give us what we want and do what we want in our lives. And that's really just not what the scriptures paint. That's not the picture that the scriptures paint. The scriptures show a love and obedience towards God and servicing Christ with your life. That's what the picture that it shows. We want to talk about this a little bit more, but we're going to head to our next break. But the number is at the station here. You can call 308-9564, 308-9564. You can call us even while we are at break, and we will be able to answer your question, or you can text your question to 725-9283, 725-9283. We're about to go to break and talk to you about this correspondence course that we're offering here. And the correspondence course that we are trying to get to people is just something that's free of charge. We'll never ask you for money, never ask you for a handout, and we just want to be able to make sure that we're offering that to you. So even while we're at break, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now. We want you to know that Bible correspondence course that we just offered. It is free. You can talk to any of our Bible students. We never ask for a handout or a contribution, a tithe, anything like that. We consider it really an honor to be able to share with you the riches of God's treasure in His Word. And so please avail yourselves of that if you've never enrolled in the course. Or many times we'll call on some of you and you said, well, I got it in the mail, but then I misplaced it. Then go ahead and enroll again. We'll send it out to you again. But we want you to know that it is our honor to share with you His rich salvation message. That was the whole purpose in Jesus coming into this world to save mankind. You know, interesting enough, hell was not prepared for people. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, we can choose to go there if we wish, but it wasn't prepared for us. So why don't we find out what is prepared for us? God's desire is that all men to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth, 2 Peter chapter 3. So we need to find out what that means. And the only way we can do that is to go to the Bible for the answer. Now, many people live in this life for just the here and now. And that is no better than any of the other creatures that live on the face of the earth. But we're not as an animal. God created us, and He gave us a spirit that will live forever. We have essence of a spirit that will live forever. God created man in His image. We have a spirit that will live forever. So why should we let that spirit that we are spend eternity away from God? The only way that we can go and to live with God would be for us to honor Him now while we live in this container we call a body. It will wear out. It will turn back to dust. But each of us listening, each of us here, will live for eternity somewhere. Whether it will be in damnation, separated from God, or whether it will be in heaven, in the bosom of Abraham, and eventually in heaven, then that's where we want to go. The only way to get there is to follow God's roadmap. God's roadmap is His Word. So, should we listen to preachers, teachers, Pope, Mama, my own spirit, or should we listen to Thus Says the Lord? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death. So, it is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. And so what we've got to do is to see what God says. And His ways are not our ways, neither are our ways His ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so is God's ways higher than our ways. Isaiah 59, verse 8 and 9. And so we've got to make certain that we find God's way to heaven, not the way that man has come up with. So we'll be glad to send this course to you free. You will find things and discover things in God's Word that you may never hear in a regular, organized, denominational church. because man has come up with new ways. But God never intended for us to do that. Matter of fact, he has told us very clearly, and even in a prayer he said, that we should all be one. As he prayed, he says, neither I pray for these alone, the 12, but all those who will believe on me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So division tells the world that Jesus didn't come. And he goes on in verse 23, that the world may know that you've loved them as you've loved me. So division tells the world that God does not love man. Is that what we're part of? Part of that division? Part of a denomination that God never intended for us to be part of? Well, the only way to escape the clutches of all of that diversity that man has come up with is to stand in the purity of his word, the only way, the only truth, and to be part of that faith that he brought. And there's only one, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. And so we need to make certain that we're part of that faith. So, what is your question about this? Go ahead and call us right now. The lines are available. 308-9564 is the number. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Don't miss out on the correspondence course. Again, the operator is standing by right now at 553-5157. She's ready to take your information, and we'll be glad to send this course to you free of charge in the mail. Again, that number is 553-5157. If it's busy, just hang up, hit redial, you'll get through. We've still got another 45 minutes or more in this broadcast, so go ahead and call in your question, and don't miss out on the course to be sent to you free of charge. The number is, again, 308-9564. That's our voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
Once again, lines are open, 308-9564. Go ahead and call in your questions. Lines are a little bit quiet today. Haven't got a question in a second. We are here and ready and waiting for your questions that are on your mind and on your heart. Concerning God's word. Go ahead, call in your question. We can give you book, chapter, verse for those things that are on your mind, on your heart. Maybe it was something that went on in your worship service today that maybe you felt kind of questioned about, or maybe it's something that you've always thought and always heard, or maybe a saying, something that you were always told that, well, the Bible says this, or God says this. Call in your question just to make sure. There's a lot of things that people think that are in God's word that just aren't in God's word, you know, and there is an importance that we should recognize in that, because God has told us to sanctify him. You know, we should have reverence towards him. We shouldn't just see God as just like another parent figure. While he would be a parent figure, he's a spiritual parent figure. If we can look at the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll see the way it was summed up. The book of Ecclesiastes shows really kind of the vanities of life and just how pointless a lot of things in life can be. And it is summed up in the last few verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Throughout going through all of these things, showing that the Ecclesiastes writer, which was King Solomon, who was known for great wisdom and wealth, and he had been through a lot of things in his life, and he was searching for meaning in life, searching for what was truly going to make him happy. And throughout all the things that he tried pleasures, he tried money, he tried food and eating, and he tried women, he tried many, many things. And listen to what he found was the most important thing in life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. One translation says, this is man's all. This is the man's whole. So many translations will say it different ways, but meaning that this is that's the whole point of us being here. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's whole, the whole duty of man. And then verse 14 says, why? Verse 14 says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So with that in their in your mind, go ahead, call in your question, 308-9564. The lines are open, 308-9564. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text number if you have any questions about this, about how we should fear God and keep his commandments. You know, what kind of fear? You know, reverence, love, godly fear, and keeping his commandments. You know, what kind of ways are we supposed to keep his commandments? What's commandments? You know, we can't keep the commandments if we don't know them.
There are probably are some events that took place today in the various church services that you are part of or where you commonly go that you wonder, are they scriptural? Is it right and proper? Well, let me point out one that most likely most of you have never even considered that they did in the first century. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, be followers of me just as I am also of Christ. So Paul tells us that we should follow his example. Not only there, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, he also says, chapter 3 and verse 17, excuse me, he says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk that you have us for a pattern. Then also the same book, Philippians 4, verse 9, he says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So three times we see, and there's others, that show us that we should follow Paul's example, that we should walk as he walked because he was following Christ and he was doing exactly what Christ wanted him to do. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that he gives instructions concerning the Lord's Supper. Before Jesus left this life, he gave them specific instructions and before he went back to heaven. And he told them in reference to the Lord's Supper, he says in verse 25, it says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Many of you know that verse. You hear it quite often. But something that pops to my mind when I see that, well, how often did they do it? Well, the next verse goes on to say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Well, now, how often did they? Well, let me ask you a question. How often do you? How often does your church do this? Or the various churches you may be aware of, how often do they do it? And many times they will stop their study of this subject right there, saying, well, see, he leaves it up to us because it doesn't say how often they did. However, remember, I started with, Paul says, follow my example, which the very first verse of that same chapter says, follow his example. So if we can look and find the example of Paul that he stood by, then that's what we should do as well. Remember, follow my example is what he said. So we can see this brought out in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 7. He was on his second journey, and on his way back through, it brings out he came through Troas, where he stayed 7 days in verse 6. And then it says in verse 7, now on the first day of the... Yeah, you know what that next word is. It's not month. It is not year. It says on the first day of the, that's right, week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Why did they come together? What was their purpose in coming together? To break bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. So the purpose of them coming together that first day of the week was to break bread. Paul was there. He was part of that. There's the example. And if we are to follow his example, which we just started with, three commands, do as I do, follow my example, be followers of me as I am also of Christ, we must do as Paul did. If you think about it, it is the focal point of our 168-hour week. All of us get that many hours every week. And the only hour that is to be focused upon the Lord is the hour when we come together to break bread. Now, my friend, Did you do that this morning? Was that part of your worship service as well as every first day of the week? We call it Sunday, and we could call it anything, but every week has a first day in it. And so that first day of the week is the day that they came together to break bread, and that is the day that we are to come together to break bread, to commune with our Lord, to remember what he did and what it means to us. So if you did not do that, then shouldn't we consider that we ought to, being that we're under command to follow Paul's example? You may have a question about this because most churches do not participate in this once a month, most of them, sometimes once a quarter, some of them, sometimes never. So if you have a question, go ahead and call us right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Your question will be next in line, so don't miss out. Go ahead and call in your question right now. 725-9283 is the text line. The voice line is 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are live now. We want y'all to know that we are thrilled to have you join us, and we look forward to your question. 308-9564. We just had Lotalo call in, a short comment. We appreciate that very much, Lotalo. We were able to meet him at our meeting we had in Goose Creek a couple of weeks ago, and we are thrilled for that, as well as all of you that came out. We appreciate y'all taking out time to come and meet us face-to-face and answer the questions in a live format, and we look forward to that in the future. We're trying to make plans toward up in Hollywood and Ravenel and Wadmalaw Island coming up pretty soon. We're trying to make some arrangements about that, so you know, stay tuned for that. That's our next focal point, I believe. In the meantime, we want you to go ahead and call in your question. Our voice line is 308-9564, and our text
725-9283 is the text line to get your question in. Don't believe we've had a text question yet today. So you text in, you could be the first one. 725-9283. We got one line available. We had someone call the voice line, but go ahead and call in your question. 308-9564. It is available for you. 308-9564 to ask your question.
The correspondence course that we were telling you about, it is a very important tool to be able to discover some things in God's Word. So don't miss out on calling the operator standing by during today's broadcast. We're halfway through the broadcast, so don't miss out. That number for the free Bible correspondence course that will be sent to you in tomorrow's mail is, that number is 553-5157. We'll send that to you. It will be a study where you can study in the privacy of your home, to be able to find the information through that. Go ahead and fill it out, send it back to us. We'll grade it, send the next lessons to you, and it'll be back and forth until the end, until you want to finish. We literally have over a half a dozen, probably closer to a dozen different courses of study from God's Word that you can go through. And thus, as hungry as you are, you will be able to find answers in God's Word. The Lord tells us to seek, and we will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to us. Ask, and it shall be given. That burden of responsibility is upon us. We must be the seekers, the knockers. We must be the ones that are looking and actively looking if we're going to find. God will not just bang somebody over the head with truth. We've got to find the truth. We've got to seek what God says in his word so that we can find those answers. If we're not seeking, we will not find. So don't miss out on this opportunity. The operator is standing by at 553-5157. We must have the opportunity to be able to, present ourselves with the opportunity to find those answers. Again, that number is 553-5157.
Yeah, we have a texter texting in this question. Their question says, does the body of Christ still have the power of laying on hands to heal the sick and casting out devils today? Or was that power only given to the early apostles? Well, I want to revert your attention to James chapter 4. I'm sorry, not James chapter 4. James chapter 5 here. It's starting in verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So that's what it says here concerning the New Testament, concerning the those under the law of Christ, the new covenant. It says here that the elders of the church should come and pray over them, anointing with oil. It does not mention laying on of the hands. Considering laying on of the hands, that was really specifically for the early apostles. Is that right, Ricky?
Yes. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18, that when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, that's why he offered them money to try and get the gift of God, and which he was rebuked for that. And so that was something exclusively that the apostles could impart the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, through the laying on of their hands. Now, the expression laying on of hands was used other places, but not for the imparting of power.
Yeah, and in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2, it shows talking about the last days, which we live in, talking about the New Testament times. In Zechariah 13, 2, it says, it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idol from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to depart from the land. So that last part of that verse, verse 2, that says I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to depart from the land, that shows that that time period where the unclean spirits were on the earth and they were, you know, possessing people, and their people needed to be the apostles to cast out demons, that was for those old times. That was, they were only on this earth for the period of time for Christ to show his power over them. That they were only on the earth for the time where either Christ would cast them out and show his power over them, or that the apostles would cast them out in the name of Christ to be able to show his power over them. So that's what that was for. Thank you for that question. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. The number here at the station is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station to call in. And if you call in and it keeps ringing, then we can only talk to one person at a time. However, there are two lines. So if you call and if the phone rings more than once, that means we're on the line with someone else getting their question. And also to help out with that, to expedite that, please, when you call in your question, please be ready just to give your question and not try to limit the dialogue as much as we can when you're on the phone, so we can just get your question and be able to get the next one on. But if you're calling and the phone is ringing, that means we're on the line with someone else. We're trying to get their question and get them off. So please just continue to let the phone ring, and we'll be able to pick up. So 308-9564 is the number here at the station. Or if you don't want to even wait in line, you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have Sue calling in this question. She wants to know about the verse that says a son being set free, but to whom? Well, let's go to the passage, Sue. Very good question, good context that Jesus was dealing with. And that's in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, let me begin with verse 30 is where the context begins. It says, and as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anything. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And so, Sue, here you can see there the Son is referring to himself, how that he is the one that has come to set us free. and thus it will be by his doing that we will be set free. And being free from sin, in that passage, as you can clearly see, also connects with the previous passage I mentioned earlier from a question in John chapter 6, where it says that we are set free from sin when we obey that form of righteousness that he has given us. Romans 6, verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Interesting, this morning in my lesson, I talked about how that we sometimes will allow ourselves to still behave like we are slaves and not we want someone else to make our decisions for us. We want somebody else to take care of us. We want someone else to think for us and tell us everything that we ought to be doing. Well, God tells us that we're going to reap as we sow, and that we should sow righteousness. We should be free from such a slave mentality and let his word show us the way and then walk in it. But a lot of times people just do not want to have that kind of responsibility, to where they have to think, where they have to reason, and they have to figure out what's right and wrong. Well, the Lord expects us to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God by following his word, doing what he says. And we can't do that, or someone else cannot do that for us. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling if we're going to be set free indeed. So hopefully that's been helpful to us. Romans chapter 6, and it was John chapter 8, where those two answers come from. Thank you, Sue, so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. The number is 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind.
We have a text question. This texter says, can someone who was in Christ and off drugs and alcohol, and is back on these things, come back to Christ? So meaning they were in Christ, they were saved, they had been baptized into Christ, they were become a child of God, and then they got on drugs and alcohol, and they turn away from Christ. Can they come back to Christ? Well, we see in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, where Jesus said, repent, or you shall all likewise perish. So God is always urging us to repent from any lifestyle, from anything that is causing us to not serve him. He's always calling us towards repentance. And so we see that in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, specifically that verse and in that context is talking about sexual things. However, he mentions that I will not be brought under the power of any, of anything. So that would include something like drugs or alcohol, which, you know, getting addicted to those things, you become under their power. And so he says that the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. So anything that is we're not doing for the Lord is detrimental to us. We should repent and turn away from those things. So, yes, Christ is always calling us towards repentance. That was Luke 13, verse 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12 and 13. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. We are about to go to our next break. The questions are starting to come in now. We're picking up the pace, and we appreciate that. But even while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions to 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283. We'll be right back. Yeah, we are back now live. 308-9564 is the number here at the station. And the text question is 725-9283 is the number to text in your questions. Just want to encourage you to dial in the number from the radio program here, 308-9564. That's the number to call us here at the station. But as far as the Bible correspondence course goes, we just want to reiterate how sincere we are with being those who continue to read through and study those things. once again, the point I made last week that I won't mind making again is that far too often we have so many lesson ones that go out and not enough lesson twos that go out. Far too often people get the first one and, oh, I put it on the kitchen counter. Oh, I put it in my Bible. Oh, I put it so-and-so. I put it so-and-so, as opposed to looking at it, studying it, going over those things, considering the question, studying it, filling it out and sending it back and continuing on with the course. We've had people to tell us, we've had numerous people, not just one or two. We've had really, dozens and dozens of people tell us, going through this course, I have learned so many things that I have never seen. And I've been, quote unquote, a Christian for years. I've been going to church for years. And many of those things just aren't good enough if we aren't consistently studying God's word to apply it to our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15-16 talked about, studying to show yourself approved unto God. That is as big a part of being a Christian as anything else. Going to church every Sunday means nothing if I'm not studying God's word and applying it to my life daily. So we just want to encourage you in that. Go ahead, sign up for the course. We call the operator standing by 553-5157. Call in and correspond to the correspondence course, get signed up, fill it out, and send it back. But if you have done that and you got a question, 308-9564. Go ahead and call us at the station here, 308-9564. Or if you don't want to wait in line, you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have a texter calling in this question. The last three digits are 872, and we sure do appreciate you participating today and asking this question. The question is, does the Bible say anything for standing up when the scripture is being read in church? If not, when asked to stand up and don't, is that considered being disobedient? Well, first of all, let's answer your biblical question. Does the Bible say anything about that? Well, we have examples where when God's word is read, as in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says in verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, that is the book of God's law. This would have been the Old Testament. For he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. So we can see that that was done, and the people just stood up. It does not say that they were told to stand up. It's just that it says that they stood up. That was no doubt a sign of respect, and they declared the word of God to them with understanding. The time frame, it seems as if from morning till afternoon. So this was not just a matter of just a short reading and then sitting back down. This seemed to have been an all-day thing. We also see the practice in the Old Testament when Moses would go into the tabernacle to talk with God and God with him, that everybody would go out to the door of their tent. All the tents were facing the tabernacle, which was in the middle, and they stood at the door of everybody's tent. And they stood there at their own personal tent facing the tabernacle. So there was a great deal of respect for when God spoke to the people, and it was shown in that physical way. And so that is something to keep in mind. Now, is it right if we don't do that and the church says so? Well, nowhere in the Bible is the church given authority to enforce anything. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So the church has no authority. The leaders of the church, they have no authority. God has all authority. And we've got to yield to what God says in his word if we are going to be pleasing to him. So is there a verse that tells us that we must stand when God's word is read? No, there is not a verse of scripture where that is commanded. Now, that was sometimes done as a showing respect. Whenever we pray, we should humble ourselves. Whenever God speaks to us, we should reverently listen to what God's word says. we don't, of all people that we may insult in the world, we certainly don't want to insult God, either by physical posture, behavior, or many other ways that we can disrespect him. We must try to not only respect his word in our posture, most importantly, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the way to show the necessary respect, by fearfully, with awesome respect, doing what he says. Another in John, he says, why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? So there is the way that we should be showing the necessary respect for God. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. We sure do appreciate your question very, very much. The numbers for the voice line are 308-9564. That is our voice line. Call in your question right now. We will go to the Bible for the answer. The lines are available. 308-9564. If you'd rather text us, you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a caller who's calling in this question who seems to be making reference to the answer I gave earlier concerning the casting out of demons and was that for today or not. And this caller mentions, casting out demons, what happened with the 70 who cast out demons? They weren't apostles. And he's making reference to Luke chapter 10, and I'm glad the caller made this reference because it goes hand in hand to exactly what I was saying earlier. And from Zechariah 13:2, that mentions, in those days, I will call out those, leave the unclean spirits will depart from the land. The point that I was trying to get at earlier, which I apologize if I wasn't clear enough with the scriptures I was using. But the point that I was trying to make earlier was that the only reasons that those unclean spirits were allowed to possess people during the earth was that time where Christ was on the earth and Christ was able to show his power over them. And his apostles, whom he gave power to be able to cast out demons, once again, it was to show Christ's power over those demons. And here in Luke chapter 10 is exactly what I was alluding to. In chapter 10, verse 17, it says, first in verse 1 of chapter 10, it shows where he sends out the 70. And then in 17, in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Exactly. The whole point of demons being released on the earth to possess people was so Christ could show his power over them. That was the very point of it. And the way we can tell that is in verse 18, where Christ says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This was shown that Christ is Lord, is supreme. He reigns over them. He has power over them. That's what this was for. So he said that I give you this authority in verse 19. Christ gave them authority. The only reason anyone had authority was because Christ gave it to them, and we must not lose track of that. And that's the point I was alluding to earlier. And if I wasn't clear enough on that, I apologize. And hopefully that was clear enough for you there. But if we look in Acts chapter 19, we can see an example of someone trying to cast out demons without Christ's authority. And it's interesting because we were kind of talking about this earlier before we came into the radio program, and that it came up today is interesting. But looking at Acts chapter 19, here's an example. Once again, the point we're trying to make is that the only reasons that demons and unclean spirits were released on the earth was so Christ could show his power over them. So here's an instance where someone was trying to cast out demons without Christ's authority, without Christ giving them the authority. In Acts chapter 19, in verse 15, well, really starting in verse 11, we have someone trying to, the context of someone trying to cast out an unclean spirit. In verse 13, it says, then some of the internant Jewish exorcists took upon themselves to call the name of the Lord over those who had the evil spirit, saying, we command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. In verse 15, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? In verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was, he leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and were wounded. See, once again, that's just showing that the only way these demons were cast out was it was by Jesus' authority. He gave his authority to those 70. After that, at that time, he gave those that authority to that 70. He gave that authority to the apostles after he had ascended back to heaven after rising from the dead. We see that as a matter of pattern that Jesus was able to do that for you. Hopefully, that's been helpful to you. The number here at the station, 308-9564. 308-9564.
We have a texter calling in a question, and I don't understand your question. So the questioner from the last three digits, 377, if you will reword your question in such a way, in a different way, that I might be able to understand it, I sure would appreciate it. You'll understand. So please text it back to us. Appreciate it. Again, we're going to our last break before the end of the program. We want you to know that we are happy to have you join us today. Please call in your question right now. Voice line is 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, the text number is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind. Again, the text line, 725-9283. The voice line of 308-9564. Remember, this is your last opportunity today to enroll in the Bible Correspondence course with a live operator. So call and get this course in the mail to you. It is absolutely free. Do not miss out on this. We'll have it in tomorrow's mail, and we're happy to send it to you. So call. You very well may learn things in this that you may never learn from any other place, especially in the mainstream churches of today that teach so many different things. So go ahead. Let's just go to the Bible for the answers. You can use this course, and please go ahead and enroll. It's absolutely free. You've got nothing to lose but hell itself. So make certain that you don't miss out on this. Yeah, the number is 553-5157 for that free course. Here's the details on it. Go ahead and call in your questions. We've got one more segment left of the program. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live. Once again, we appreciate your time here. You're giving us to join us in this study of God's Word and looking at the book, chapter, and verse to the answers of the questions that are on your mind that pertain to things of life and godliness. We are very, very serious about the Bible Correspondence course. Please go ahead, call and enroll in that if you haven't done so. And if you've enrolled in it and you never sent back lesson one, or you stalled out and didn't continue on, and please go ahead and call in and re-enroll in that and try to get back into the Bible Correspondence course. And remember, it is absolutely free. It's not a bait and switch. We never ask you for any kind of donation or any kind of handout whatsoever. To call any question, this is our last segment. Remember, this is our last segment. We have just about 12 or 13 minutes or so. So this is our last segment. Call in your questions to 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. It's about the Apostle Paul wasn't around when Jesus was here. How did he cast out demons? Well, as we look and see, his calling is recorded in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and chapter 26, and we see that he was called to be an apostle. He did not go down to Jerusalem to be trained by those apostles there. It was some years later that he actually met the apostles when he came back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9, as recorded in verse 26 and 27. And so he was an apostle, and he was considered an apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He talks about that. And he says, For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostle in verse 5. And so he was an apostle. Thus, that gave him the ability to lay hands on and to be able to administer or to impart to others spiritual gifts, and actually speaks of that. Is that, are you not the fruit of my hands? He speaks of them that way, and that was something that an apostle had the ability to do. He also defends his apostleship in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And so looking there, he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Jesus Christ, our Lord? And are you not the work of the Lord? And so he says, if I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship. So he speaks very clearly of that, that he was an apostle and that he had imparted to them some gifts. Also, Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, he wanted to go to Rome that he may impart to them some spiritual gift to the end that they may be established. That's Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. So we can see clearly that Paul was an apostle in every way. The only difference was he had not walked with the Lord during those 3.5 years that the other apostles had walked with the Lord. And so we do want to not doubt that in any way, because the scriptures make that very clear. So again, that was 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the first few verses there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the first few verses there, and then also Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much, because it is God who is the one that we should be listening to, and not what we might have heard from the pulpits today. Thank you again for your question. Again, the number is 3089564. There's one line available. The text line is always available. That number is 725-9283.
Yeah, we have a texter sending in this question asking about, they're praying for a blessing and they want to know where at in the Bible can they get some help on this. Well, in terms of just using the word blessing, you know, I think simply of, you know, waking up in the morning, being able to breathe and being able to use my arms and my legs and think in my right mind, and all those things are blessings. And, you know, hopefully this texter agrees with me in that. And so specifically, I guess I don't know specifically what type of blessing you're looking for, or something you're being specific about, or what kind of blessing. But in terms of, you know, chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 6, we see here, you know, where our focus should be. You know, what kind of blessings are we to be focused on? Romans chapter 8 also gives us that, verses 18 through 39. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, we see here about, you know, where should our focus be? You know, our focus here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then it goes on in the context, and it continues, and it furnishes up in verse 31, says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33 is key. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So our focus should be on seeking first the kingdom of God. Our focus should be like in John 14:15, where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our focus should be on loving God, showing our love for God by keeping his commandments, keeping his New Testament commandments, his New Testament laws, and keeping that covenant, and showing ourselves approved to him, you know, studying his word and applying it to our lives daily. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And also Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39 shows us about where our focus should be. Our focus shouldn't be on struggles and trials and tribulations in this life, but on eagerly waiting for Christ's return, but on, you know, focusing on the love of Christ. So that was Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, and Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. You got a few minutes left. The number here at the station, if you call quickly, you will be able to get your question in. 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number here at the station.
We have a caller calling in this question. It says, what happens to pastors who call themselves apostles? Well, let me first address the idea of calling ourselves anything, except like when John was asked, who are you? And he said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. The only person that has the right to call themselves of any importance whatsoever was Jesus Christ. And he gets all authority. Matter of fact, that's exactly what he says, isn't it? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So if Jesus has got it all, how much do we have? If he's got all glory to be given to him, how much do we have? If he is to receive all honor, how much are we to have? Okay, you get the point. So let's look and see if that's verified throughout the scriptures. In Acts chapter 20, Paul talks to the elders with a little e, by the way. In Acts chapter 20, he refers to them as elders with a little e in verse 17. He refers to them as overseers with a little o in verse 28. And he refers to them with shepherds or pastors with a little s or p in verse 28 as well. So their God, through Paul, is referring to them. They have not lifted themselves up for entitlement or position or a point of pride or a followership at all. Matter of fact, he warns them. He says in verse 29, for I know this, after my departure shall savage wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Listen carefully. To draw away disciples after themselves. So they were going to develop a following. People were going to follow after them. That was not right. When even a infidel like Herod allowed himself to be built up as the voice of God. In Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 20, an angel of the Lord struck him dead, and he was eaten of worms. Now, how's that for developing a following or lifting oneself up? One more question for the questioner who asked this. Please note, from Romans all the way through the rest of the Bible, you will see that when the apostles were involved with writing the letter, they never referred to themselves as the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter. It was always called to be an apostle. It was apostle with a little a. They never took on entitlement. It was a role they played, but there was no honor or position associated with that to where that they were bigger than anyone else. So please look at the beginning of every one of those letters and you'll see that. So anybody that lifts themselves up today, well, God is going to react to them the same way. Thank you so much for your call.
We have a caller who mentions this Gloria Petri and asks about the significance of this because they see it a lot in their church bulletins or so. That phrase means glory be to the Father in Latin, but it is, as far as I looked at, I did not see any kind of scripture specifically pertaining to any kind of significance about that. I'm not trying to, you know, don't want to diminish, you know, all glory does belong to the Father. But as far as that hymn or anything, I can't really say anything scriptural about that. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And another, in response to the texter who sent in this question, they asked what chapter in 2 Timothy I mentioned. That was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, 16, 17, that area that I was mentioning. So that was 2 Timothy chapter 2.
All right, we have another question. We've just about totally to run out of time. How much time we have left? 1 minute. So if I don't, I'm not able to finish this. Matter of fact, I'm not. Let me just read your question. We'll get to your question next week. Jesus is God. Where does it call Jesus God? I thought he was God's son. Well, John 1, I can answer that quickly. John 1, verses 1 through 4. You'll see that very clearly.
I can answer this one short, too. Asking about apostles in the New Testament. The caller seems to think that we imply there are no apostles. We do have apostles today. The same apostles they had in the first century, and our apostles wrote their words, wrote the Holy Spirit's words down for us, and we can go back to it. So we do have the very same apostles. There just are no new apostles.
So we sure do thank you for calling in and joining us today in our efforts to let the Bible speak. You are our honored guest, but God is the one we listen to. So that's why we let the Bible speak. So let's make certain that we always do that. Don't listen to us or man. I hope you looked at these verses and hopefully will continue to go to God's word for the answer. Your desire for God is very important. We sure appreciate it. And your desire to let the Bible speak. Thank you.